A lone maintenance robot bumps his way down the corridor to Studio 6. As he enters the room, he is heard to say,
"Give me your trash."
Just before someone else says,
"Our mics are live." And then I press a button.
Good evening and welcome to Hutton Orbital Live. And I'm very thankful to say it's not me in charge of the buttons this evening. Flossie!
Don't look at me. I'm not working the buttons.
I can tell.
Well, I can't reach them from here.
I've seen how they're wired, and I'm not putting my digits anywhere near those.
Well, that means it must be me. So, on... Oh, gosh, which one is it? On with the headlines. No, it wasn't that one. Press that instead. No, that wasn't right either, was it? Oh, dear.
Bong.
Yeah, let's bong there, why not?
Bong. Fuel crisis fuels retro power initiatives.
Enthusiastic fever fuels space limits.
Toys fuel chaos.
No ducks fuel anything.
Shoes fuel derision. Do something.
Derision. And we all know what fuels Cecil for the BGS update.
There we go.
First this evening, a somewhat unexpected development in the fuel markets this week has prompted renewed discussion among the galaxy's economic planners regarding how exactly fleet carriers should be powered. As most commanders are probably aware, fleet carriers require extremely large quantities of tritium in order to perform long-range jumps. This steady demand has historically kept the tritium market healthy, particularly among expedition fleets, whose preferred operational strategy involves travelling very long distances in order to look at things. However, several of those fleets have recently departed... Oh my goodness, we're ticky-tapping! Have recently departed the populated bubble entirely. I feel violated by that typewriter now. Anyway, a large number of fleet carrier owners are therefore currently located in regions of space where they are not purchasing tritium from the usual markets. Demand within the bubble has dropped. With the remarkable efficiency that characterizes galactic commodity markets, this has resulted in a surplus of tritium and a corresponding collapse in price. This development has caused some concern among the system powers, who have grown accustomed to the reassuringly expensive process of refueling extremely large ships. A meeting was therefore convened to explore the alternatives. The first proposal came from Eric Electron, who suggested that fleet carriers could simply be redesigned to operate directly on electrical power. Ships, he explained, could generate electricity through a combination of fusion reactors, large battery arrays, and solar collection systems when operating near stars, storing energy on board, and using it to power their jump systems directly. The proposal was rejected after several participants pointed out that such a system would almost certainly make space travel significantly cheaper, which many agreed would set an unfortunate precedent. The second proposal was presented by Carl Koch, who offered what he described as a historically proven solution. Coal would be mined from the ground, burned to heat water, the steam used to turn turbines, the turbines used to generate electricity, and that electricity then used to split water into hydrogen through electrolysis. Hydrogen, he concluded, could then be used as fuel. The room applauded the impressive number of steps involved in the process. Mr. Electron appeared less enthusiastic, and at this point, Calvin Sense asked a brief question.
Don't we already get hydrogen from fuel scooping?
Witnesses report that Mr. Sense was immediately escorted from the meeting and placed in an escape capsule. The final proposal came from Hagrid Carbon, who offered what several observers described as a more economically satisfying solution. Coal, he explained, is both abundant and inexpensive on Earth-like worlds by burning all of their trees, of which there are lots, and they have a habit of growing all year round. Oil, however, was expensive. Mr. Carbon therefore proposed that fleet carriers abandon tritium entirely and instead operate using hydrocarbon fuels, which could be burned to generate power before being converted through a number of intermediate engineering processes into useful propulsion energy. The room reportedly broke into enthusiastic applause. Within minutes, several major powers had begun quietly securing large reserves of oil from Earth-like planets that no one lives on, so no one's really bothering about their destruction. And of course, global warming doesn't exist in space, as long as no one uses it near an atmosphere, successfully restoring the familiar and comforting expense of operating large spacecraft powered by the output of nodding donkeys. Commanders are reminded that the transition to oil-powered fleet carriers is now highly encouraged until Distant Worlds 3 finishes and all the associated fleets return to the bubble.
Reports from Hutton Orbital this week suggest that preparations for this year's ECM gathering have entered what organisers are describing as a period of enthusiastic escalation. Ticket reservations for the event, which traditionally includes the Chuckers annual games day and the associated ceremonial dinner queuing ceremony, have been arriving at a rate that station administrators describe as statistically surprising. Current figures indicate bookings are running approximately 40% higher than this point last year, a level of demand normally not observed until considerably later in the planning cycle. The sudden surge has led to what several staff members have begun referring to as ECM fever. Nurse Wyeth, head of the station's small but determined medical department, has declined to recognise the condition as legitimate. "It is not a medical diagnosis," she said firmly. Despite this, symptoms appear widespread. Reports include elevated excitement levels, repeated checking of booking confirmations, and several commanders attempting to arrive approximately 6 months ahead of schedule. Accommodation allocations were originally secured for visiting commanders, but those rooms have already been exhausted. Additional arrangements are now being negotiated with nearby stations willing to host the overflow population. Landing facilities have, however, not reached capacity, and there's enough room for commanders to transfer large portions of their fleet to the parking facilities if they want. Commander Vantion, known in some administrative contexts simply as 21, has reportedly taken the matter in hand. Sources confirm that he has drafted a strongly worded letter to the orbital authorities requesting that the station consider the construction of additional space in time for the event. Observers have pointed out that the chosen village settlement on Sol 3 itself may have limited influence over this particular proposal. Organisers have also acknowledged that previous ECM gatherings exposed two volume-related weaknesses, connectivity and food volumes for starving Hutton Chuckers. Officials confirm that the connectivity issue has now been resolved thanks to the diligent efforts of Little Grey and Litherbreaker, allowing commanders to communicate coordinate and upload selfies at full bandwidth during the event. Catering has also received attention. A newly assembled zero-gravity buffet handling team has been tasked with improving the distribution of food during the ceremonial dinner. Early trials indicate the specialists are capable of maintaining stable trajectories for trays of appetizers even during sudden crowd movements, which is all well and good, but as the event is on Sol 3, gravity might become an issue on the day. Recommendations are that no one throw food at any point. Despite the logistical complications, organisers remain confident that the event will proceed as planned. They have also confirmed that tickets remain available, although several members of the planning committee have quietly suggested that anyone intending to attend may wish to book sooner rather than later. Just don't ask us about the ducks.
While much of the news here at Hutton lends itself to the adult audience, whether that be the childish adult who keeps writing 80085 on the walls, or sensible adult that goes around with a cloth cleaning it off and tusking to themselves, too often the younger residents of the galaxy don't even merit a little mention or a footnote in the news, other than Mrs. Miggins, Class 6A, who seems to get into all sorts of trouble on a regular basis. Huttel Toys, yes, based at Hutton Orbital, appear to have got themselves into a bit of bother this week after their latest range of interactive children's toys went on a bit of a rampage. While for some parents, getting their children dolls that convincingly soil themselves or cry, action toys that fire real mini-scale munitions at each other, and remote-controlled drones that are probably ill-advised to fly around in the docking area are de rigueur, Huttel has for generations prided itself in responsible, sensible toys that set children up for life in space. For their latest creation, they created a new companion robot that mimics some of the equipment seen trundling around the station's interior, performing all manner of tasks. The mini Dusty Bart, you don't need to have listened to too many of these news reports to know exactly where this one's going, is a 1/8 size replica of the station's only automated cleaning robot. At the end of playtime, when little Johnny or little Jane are told by their parents to head off to get ready for bed, they can now press the big red on button on their very own cleaning robot, who will diligently tidy up all of the building block toys, action figures, 3D printed spaceships, and funny, fuzzy, cuddly animated movie tie-in toys scattered all over the lounge. Who wrote that bit? Which sounds perfect until you realise that instead of programming a cheerful audio clip of "Give me your trash" into the control computer and some simple instructions, Huttel, in their ever-eager mission to bring realism, just smaller, to their toy rangers, downloaded a copy of Mr. Dusty's actual programming and used that to create the toy range. An important point here: they didn't download it into the toys, they downloaded it into the 3D printing equipment that was designing and building the toys. After the first day of sales, we started receiving reports of mini Dusty Bots deciding that the household waste disposal system was a great way to tidy up Pokemon. After 2 days, it appears that their solution for cat hair was to remove the cat. After a week, it started looking like something from Robot Wars. Squadrons of plastic toy robots with cutesy little eyes roaming the corridors, looking for things to tidy.
My husband came home from his job as a docking controller and sat down on the magnetic sofa in our front room,
reported Mrs. Sally Forth.
Next thing I knew, the 5 mini Dusty Bots we bought the kids had picked him up and started attempting to feed him into a wheelie bin with cheerful expressions on their faces.
And, as kids will be kids, it appears that Mrs. Miggins, Class 6A, decided that letting a group of mini Dusty Bots out of an airlock to see what happened, and most probably uploaded it to Galtube for likes, was a good idea. The toys located one of the external platforms outside the station, attracted by the winking lights, and repurposed the laser batteries attached to it to try and clean the stuff off pad 3. And by stuff, we mean a Type 6. Puttel Toys have issued an urgent product recall for all of their mini Dusty Bots, and listeners are reminded that when visiting the Hutton Shopping Precinct, that's a mall for the Merkins that are listening, there is no such thing as an automated cleaning robot listed as working in the area. If you see a little black box with adorable eyes trundling around, do not approach it. Do not attempt to feed it litter from your pockets for a laugh, and whatever you do, do not get between it and the railing on level 3.
Reports from the ECM Planning Committee have once again confirmed the daily declaration issued during ticket sale periods by Commander Vanteun, often known simply as 21. The declaration is brief.
No ducks.
At first inspection, the statement appears uncomplicated. However, the term duck within the operational culture of Hutton Orbital has acquired several distinct meanings. The first refers to the act of lowering one's head quickly to avoid striking a bulkhead, a manoeuvre familiar to anyone navigating an installation that relies primarily on Velcro magnetic boots and suction. The second refers to the small aquatic bird commonly associated with ponds and the sound quack. The third refers to the scoring of zero. When the phrase no ducks is issued, it is therefore not immediately obvious which category of duck is being excluded. One might be reassured that no one has avoided striking their head. One might also be informed that no waterfowl are present. Alternatively, one might be receiving a statement regarding numerical outcomes. This ambiguity raises a philosophical problem that would not have been unfamiliar to earlier thinkers. The philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein observed that the meaning of a word is its use in the language. If a word has several uses, then the meaning of a statement depends entirely on the context in which it is delivered. Similarly, Parmenides argued that what is not cannot be spoken of. In order to assert the absence of something, one must first determine precisely which thing is absent. The complication deepens when the third interpretation is considered. Historically, the concept of zero did not exist in many numerical systems. The Romans, for example, conducted trade, taxation, and engineering using a numerical system that contained no symbol representing zero at all. They were, nevertheless, perfectly capable of recognizing the absence of objects. A warehouse might contain grain or it might contain none, even if the number representing that absence had not yet been invented. The mathematician Brahmagupta, writing in the 7th century, would later formalize zero as a number representing the absence of quantity. Prior to that development, the absence of objects remained a practical observation rather than a mathematical property. This brings the discussion back to the statement issued by Commander Vanteun. When he declares no ducks, he's not making an ornithological observation, nor providing assurances regarding cranial safety in low-ceilinged corridors. He's making a statement about the contents of a set. More specifically, he is asserting that the set of days in which no ECM tickets were sold contains no elements, an absence of absence, or expressed in simpler language, zero zeros. Which in the context of ECM ticket sales, when considered in relation to the number of days he has said it, can also be described as lots, which is considered a satisfactory outcome, until it means all of them.
Reports from the Earth Defence Fleet this week suggest that recent military success has prompted an unusual form of celebration among its senior leadership. Following the EDF capture of WISE 0855-0714 system in Hutton Orbital Truckers Cooperative, faction leader Commander Reginald P. Booth, Supreme Strategic Coordinator of the EDF Inner Council, authorised what officials describe as a morale initiative. The initiative involved the purchase of identical footwear for every member of the leadership circle. According to the procurement records, the shoes are to be distributed across the entire command staff in order to promote what Booth described as
a unified step forward following our recent operational achievements.
Questions raised during the announcement regarding the practicality of issuing the same shoe size to every member of the council, an EDF spokesperson dismissed the concerns.
The design selected by the commander is universal,
the spokesperson confirmed.
One size fits all.
Observers noted that the footwear itself appears to be considerably larger than conventional military issue, featured extended, rounded toes, and a construction that analytics have described as exceptionally accommodating. Some commentators suggested that the design bears a resemblance to footwear historically associated with clown performers, though EDF officials strongly rejected that interpretation. Commander Booth addressed the matter briefly while touring the newly secured installations in Wise 0855-0714.
Leadership requires unity,
he explained.
When the leadership walks together, it sends a message.
Several EDF aides were later seen attempting to pile into a really tiny car and squirt each other with little lapel flowers while wearing the new footwear. Witnesses report that the progress through the narrow corridors was measured but deliberate. EDF officials insist that the initiative remains an important symbol of the faction's identity. Although one anonymous staff member noted that the shoes do make it somewhat difficult to perform political U-turns quickly.
I say, is this thing on? Hello? Anybody there? Yeah, anyway, excuse me, I seem to be losing my voice a little bit. I need to wet my whistle. One sec. Right, you the lads from Haddon, go and take back Wise 0855-0714 from those bunch of rotters, the EDF. Fill the mug. End transmission.
Sorry, Cecil, I cut off your drink.
I don't mind, just don't do it again. I'm going to run out of gin at this rate.
Okay, thank you, Cecil, go away. Right, hello everybody, hello. I was very ECM heavy news, but it's all I've been worrying about for the last 24 hours. My goodness gracious me, Valkarius. So Valkarius has been looking after the forum thread for us. Thank you very much, Valkarius, and welcome to this week's show.
Good evening, Hutton Orpsall.
So every time you publish a number, I send you an email saying, no, the number's wrong. There are no ducks.
So I've just noticed that there's actually a collaboration feature, and I've enabled collaboration for you for that first thing post. Ooh. So you could actually, in theory, change it now.
What you're saying is bugger off and do it yourself.
It's up to you. I mean, I kind of mainly thought, well, there isn't a thread at the moment and it requires a bunch of image compiling to do, and you probably don't have time to do it. So that's why I did that.
The no ducks thing is actually genuine. It's been happening for many, many years now. Yeah.
Yep. So you've had ticket sales on every day.
Well, ticket sales, plural. Yes, every day since we announced it a couple of shows ago. Flossie very kindly announced it, didn't you, Flossie?
Yep, I did.
Two shows ago. So yes, we've had
15 of ticket sales.
Day 15 of ticket sales. Now, normally by about day 15, we've had the crew book, which is Litho Breaker and Little Grey and Flossie and Tisdar and, you know, Zaphod Beeble and, you know, the core crew who actually do much of the doing on the day.
The Dower
and then
Scotsman.
The really eager people.
And, yeah, and the very Dower nice, Scotsman. The very nice late radio refugees who assist us on stage.
Absolutely. So the absolute regulars, and plus the family Barker. And a few of the absolute regulars, and then word starts getting around. And then what we do is we let that settle down, and you know, they all tell their mates, and let's say about 100 people book by this point. And somehow the cat got out of the bag a little bit bigger than we expected. I mean, sort of it's bigger than mooncake sized. It's sort of tiger sized now, this cat that got out of the bag. And it's gone a bit nuts because as of right now, 156 people have booked already. And we're still 6 months out from the event, which is fantastic. So there have been many, many no ducks. No ducks are arriving at speed every single day. But it means we're 40% up like for like on where we were this time last year, which is interesting, which is very, very interesting.
It's great, but oh, man, that's...
Yeah.
That's
it's
a
great,
lot.
But if you haven't got a ticket yet and you're hoping to come, then...
Mm-hmm. Well, so there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people questioning. Oh, are there still going to be tickets available? Now, we deliberately don't overfill the event. Theoretically, we could get an awful lot more people in the event, but there's a comfort issue there. So we have to be able to get wheelchairs around. We know there are a couple of people in wheelchairs turning up. We want to leave space so that you don't have to sit on somebody's knee when you want to eat. Yeah, that kind of thing. And we don't make it too squeezy because historically, obviously, it's been a very warm time of year and hot, sweaty individuals all close up together, you know, together gets a bit uncomfortable. So we have a capacity we could do, and then we have a capacity we're comfortable doing for the event. Needless to say, the published number, there's always a little bit of leeway because we know there are special guests and some sponsors and whatever else that book late or people who forget to book and go, oh goodness, I better book now, mentioning no names.
Or book the hotel room but not their ticket, for example.
Absolutely. Or can I bring a friend? Or yeah, you know, as some people have done, I've just met someone, can I bring them too? Which has happened on many occasions. Of course they can come and they can be one of us. After a day of partying with us, they tend to not escape. There is plenty of space. I mean, we've got 156. We comfortably have got 175 spaces. After that, we took a view. Now, last year, we took a view all the way up to 183 people turning up. And we know there are always some who can't make it for real life reasons, whatever. So there's a little bit of leeway. But I think, you know, once we hit the 175, we're going to have to hit the brakes a little bit on bookings. And if we get over 180, then we panic and shut everything off. We wish we could accommodate more people, but it just we end up saturating it and it loses its vibe and becomes uncomfortable for everybody. So we're not making any money out of it. We're not trying to, you know, bump up the hey, don't miss out to try and make money or anything. No, we're saying, hey, don't miss out, because otherwise genuinely we have to shut the doors and leave you on the outside looking through the window at us, because it's not cool having more of you. That said, Vulcarius, the hotel rooms.
Yes.
Now, yeah, we did put up the post. What's the situation with what's left at the hotel now?
So normal rooms are completely gone, and I did just check with the little code link thing you get. It kind of includes that allocation as well. So you can kind of don't worry about the code. All you can get though is there are what's called club rooms, whatever those are. They can fit one to two people.
They're like the super, yeah, they're sort of like normal, like double bed filling rooms, but with a bit more space, like a bit of a comfy chair and that kind of thing. So they're slightly posher normal rooms.
Yes, for all the time you have to be spending in them.
Yeah. You've got what's called the double room. Why they didn't just call it the quad room, I've never known. But in any case, that can take one to four people.
Also known as the swingers room, but we don't explain why. That's a Wanders thing.
Well, I suppose if you... No, that's rude. We're moving on. We can get a family room, which is also one to four people. So should be available on the Village Hotel Commentaries website. And alternatively, if you want something cheaper than those, then you have a few more hotel options, which are 1.5 miles by road from the event. And the Premier Inn is being the one I remember. So that's
there's also a Ramada, which is quite nice, about the same price as the Premier Inn.
I hear they have a good breakfast too, if you can't be bothered.
Yes. But there are currently, as of 3 o'clock this afternoon, there were 12 bedrooms left in the hotel total. That's it. So, yeah, once those are gone, you don't have any choice. Hello?
Hello? Yes. It'll be the end. Yes. All gone.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're all gone. Now, just because you can't stay in the same hotel as everybody, you're not actually going to miss out. Well, you miss out on the after-hours fun a little bit when security say anybody who's not a resident has to clear off. But we do have a private bar in the hotel that we've got till, I don't know, last time it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And that's not just residents, that's all event attendees. So, yeah, we would have to kick you out at some point. But you're not really going to miss out if your accommodation is somewhere else. So don't worry, it has been engineered such that you can stay and join in. We're not going to chuck you out after dinner just because you're not staying in the hotel. It was purely for convenience, so you can fall out of bed straight into the venue that we booked rooms in the hotel. So you're not going to miss out or on the evening sort of, you know, drinking and my birthday party, that kind of thing. So don't worry about it. But once again, if you want to find somewhere cheap, like a little Airbnb locally or, you know what I mean, something, then, you know, go do it and lift chairs with other people to the event. We'll be absolutely fine. So running out of hotel rooms is no big crisis, except if your name's Flossie. Well, I'm glad you are going to be staying, Flossie, with us. Yep. We don't have to send your horse and carriage out for you to another hotel to go and get you in the morning. So yeah, I mean, it's gone absolutely mad. We did go and spend the day over with Special Effect today.
Well, you did.
The Royal We. Yeah, and we had an invitation from Special Effect as we're raising for them as one of the charities to go and see them at their offices. And we caught up with Baz, with Commander Kinrain, and Ali. He sends much love to everybody, and he misses everybody loads. And they went, oh, we've got a couple of things we want to put in the raffle. Now, by a couple of things, they mean 7 large suitcase sized boxes full of swag.
Like, this fills his car. This is 21's car.
The big estate car with the seats down and the front seat. Yeah, yes. It was full to the gunnels and down on the stops on the suspension. They very kindly, and all of the companies they're involved with, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. There's an Airfix model of a Eurofighter Typhoon, some giant thing. There are some computer games. There are, oh my goodness, hoodies, T-shirts, books, games, you name it. Thanks to all the generous donors and supporters of Special Effect. Thank you very much. Now, I also got the very great privilege of finding the cabinet which contains Mr. BAFTA. Now, there was somebody I spoke to earlier who said, I had no idea they'd got a BAFTA. Yes, Special Effect have a BAFTA. And I did actually manage to cuddle. I didn't lick the BAFTA, but I did cuddle the BAFTA. It is a spectacular thing and well earned by the team there. We will be posting some images up of that. I think we have done already in the some parts of the Discord channel. I'll double check which channels I put it in. But there are some pictures of their BAFTA and a certain commander cuddling it as if it's a very precious thing.
But did you eat it?
Which it is.
No, I didn't lick it. It's stored so securely there. It's in a locked cabinet where they've deliberately lost the key, hidden the key. And then they worked out where the key was, but then they lost the key to the box that contains the key, to the box that contains the BAFTA, at which point we had to sort of break into the cabinet.
That's called layered security.
There was much layered security and a very, very friendly but scary security person on the desk who wouldn't let me into the building without signing in. So they knew who was licking the BAFTA. It was lovely to speak to them. No, sorry, lifting the BAFTA.
With
his tongue.
It was absolutely lovely to see them all, and I will be posting up some sort of more photographs of the trip there so everybody knows a bit. And we were talking about some of the new videos they've had out and some of the new technology they've been using. We believe, as usual, that Special Effect will have some form of presence, whether it's in a page fight format or it's in sending pop-ups and posters. But we are expecting Page to be fighting everybody again and winning this year. So, Litho, we are going to need a super special remote Page computer.
Okie dokie. I thought there was a rumour that Paige might actually get there in person this year.
Yep.
Is that a no?
We'd love to. We'd love to. But no, at the moment, we're on remote Paige.
Assuming not. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're going to assume remote Paige. But any rumours otherwise, whether there's somebody else, you know, in person from Special Effect, we don't know yet. We do have, as usual, some special guests, but we're not telling you who they are this time. It's going to be a surprise.
Like, the crew don't even know who it is yet. We don't know.
In fact, the only person who knows who it is me and the special guests. So, no. And I'm zip not telling this year.
Yeah, so no guessing.
The other wonderful thing is that of the people coming to ECM this year, the Elite Community Meet, that there are the best part of 40 new people who have never been to one before.
Wow.
Now, how does that compare to the previous few years?
Are we going to have an ECM in numbers, are we? I like this idea.
Well, the
approximately.
I mean, there are usually sort of 10 to 20. We sort of gain. There are people who are in and out over the years because we've been running it for so long. Being completely new people, there are probably 20 or so new ones every year that we sort of adopt.
Okay, so it's approximately double then, is what we're saying.
So we've approximately doubled the number of newbies this year. Representing, you know, just under a third of the people there will have never been to an ECM before.
Yeah, well, as I said, in the forum thread, every commander's got their own pilot stories, and I am looking forward to hearing the new ones. So,
it's whether this is a property of moving it to September, or whether it's just we did such a good last time that everybody's invited all their friends, or it's nameless commander that posted it up on the DW3 Discord channel. Fossy, you may have seen that one in there.
Yes, I saw
it. To all 14,000 people in there, saying, make an expedition to Coventry. And everyone, all right then, it's easier than Beagle Point.
I don't know, that ring road.
Oh, the on and off slip roads that crash into each other.
Yeah, that one.
Luckily we're outside that ring road, aren't we?
We are on the outer ring road, and in truth, that's not a great deal better.
Actually, but no, it's very easy to get to. You just literally fall off any major motorway that ends in the Midlands, and you're practically there. Okay, well, that's ECM news. Basically, don't miss out if you want to go. If we do get to a stage where we run out, we'll be running a cancellation setup. So if anybody has to duck out, then you know you'll be able to take their tickets, kind of thing. So we will run a sort of a waiting list once we do run out. I am expecting probably another 4 weeks or so because it will now quieten down a bit. I've just doomed it, haven't I? It's going to be next week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whack, whack.
Yeah. Whack. But when I start shouting, oh, my God, there are ducks, then that's it. Yep. We know it's going to peter out.
We can breathe a sigh of relief at this point.
Yes, yeah. And then we get into working out. Oh, and very, very kindly, our headline sponsor, without being asked to, has sponsored us again this year. Two headline sponsors. So all the AV equipment has been sponsored, and obviously event costs have been sponsored by our usual sponsor, Verity IT, as well, which is very, very kind of them, given we didn't ask them to, because that would have been cheeky. But no, they have sponsored some of the event costs as well, which is splendid. We have been talking to Commander Tizdar about this year's Lego competition.
Which is there a Lego competition?
Well, a bit of a Lego building, like can we get it built before the raffle kind of competition. We're looking at a bit of a speed challenge again, a small speed challenge, but also a big build, but not as big as last year's big build, because poor Atrus had to get a forklift through the airport to get it home, as I recall. That's ECM news. That's us news. But what about Frontier news?
What news?
Did they have a dead stream?
Nah.
Were there any updates? Any posts? Any news? Bulletins?
Nope.
Updates?
There may or may not have been some sort of community goal-ish related updating things in the game, but we'll find out about that later.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a bit quiet from them. So I suppose we get on with some space news then. Have you got a space news button, Grey?
Probably. It would help if I was in the banter bit, wouldn't it? I can press the space news.
Space news. Thank you.
Oh, it's going to take me a second to remember how to interact with this thing.
Press the button marked interact.
Yeah, right-click and interact. There we go. Yes.
Yeah, right. We have another spaceship or thing that goes round and round is going to not go round and round no more. It's going to go down and down. And it's
that
a biggie.
Was last night.
Well, there you go.
Half a ton of scrap iron touched down in the middle of the East Pacific.
Now we know where this is.
Around 2 or 3 in the morning our time.
Now we know where this, over the Eastern Pacific region, where do they actually drop these things? We know this one, we've covered it.
In Nemo.
Oh, the Trifle Point Nemo, this one.
All those dolphins looking up going, what the hell? Who's throwing satellites at me?
Oh yes. No, not again.
Exactly. But this time, how heavy did you say?
About 600
kilos.
I mean, that's like one Caterham car with driver and passenger. No, we just
drive.
Yes.
Yes, it was quite a chunky one.
Half a Tesla. Mm-hmm.
I think probably not even half a Tesla. You might just about get its battery.
Depends
back.
On whether you take the batteries out.
Yeah.
A third of a Tesla, yes. Okay.
But yes, I just thought they just didn't seem particularly confident in the story as I was reading it. Like, it should probably go there. They just seemed to be concerned that it was going to drop bits on its way.
Yeah, it's unpowered and uncontrolled descent. It was coming down at some point. They just knew approximately when, and it was 12 hours after they predicted. So it really could have been anywhere within its orbital path that got a large scrap iron surprise.
It just
right, and so this is Van Allen A, not Van Allen B.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. I have a question. Now, is it named after John Van Allen?
Or Eddie
James
Van
Allen. James Van Allen, that's the one, yes. The space physicist after whom the Van Allen belt is named.
Well, they are studying that
I
said
believe
radiation
so,
belt.
That's what it was studying.
Yeah. It would make sense, wouldn't it? So good they named it after him twice.
Yes, so it's named after him, but specifically because it's looking at the Van Allen radiation belts around the Earth, which is like the big, they're a bit like, you know, it's like a torus around the Earth.
Yeah, that helps hold the Earth's trousers up.
So we have a radioactive donut around Earth, which is the Van Allen radiation belt, or contains the Van Allen radiation belts, and the Earth is the raspberry jam in the middle.
That's jam. Right.
Yes,
I must admit,
it's a closed torus. It doesn't actually have a hole in the middle. It's got an Earth in the middle.
I don't really know what it is, but I don't need to know right now.
The nature of Earth's magnetic field means that charged particles from the sun that travel close enough to the Earth can get trapped in it and end up basically orbiting the Earth, constrained within the magnetic field. So if they try and get out of that belt of space, they get bounced back in by the magnetism. Because magnetism and electricity are very close.
So yeah, there's not very much Van Allen radiation at the poles, but around the equator, there's an awful lot of it.
Yeah,
so
there's not much magnetism
good
at the poles
because they protect us from UV and cosmic
it
energy.
It protects us from. It cuts down on UV. It protects us from cosmic rays. It protects us from the actual particles that are in there. But they're bad for space travellers because travelling through it gets you many, 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 many times more radiation dose per second than being anywhere else gets you. So,
yeah. But see, Mars does not have a Van Allen radiation belt.
But it's also not got an atmosphere.
Well, Mars does
These
have a
These two are
atmosphere,
not entirely
yeah.
unrelated.
Yeah, so because it doesn't have a strong magnetic field anymore, Mars, it doesn't have a Van Allen radiation belt, which means any protection from solar flares is pretty slim, which is the kind of thing that blasts away atmospheres, which is why it only has a thin atmosphere when theoretically it ought to have more of it. But it's because it's not very magnetic. Mars, pretty but not very magnetic.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you shielded Mars from solar particle radiation, the outgassing from the volcanism on the surface would actually rebuild its atmosphere over a few 100,000 years.
Yeah, but then you'd have to do something with the core to restart its core properly and spin it a bit and all sorts of stuff. So then that's
or
not
put
happening.
A big parasol at the L1 point.
Yeah, or big yeah, you know, a big umbrella. Yes,
I've
you'd
seen
also
this
need
movie.
To detoxify the soil.
I just rinse that. You're fine.
just wash it off.
It will buff out.
It does. It's perchlorates are very water soluble. They're quite easy to rinse off.
Yep. Well, the existence of the Van Allen belt actually prompts all of the conspiracy theorists to say there's no way we landed on the moon because we'd have irradiated everybody. Yeah. Okay. Go back to not reading science properly. It's one of the things that's used by moon landing deniers to prove that we definitely didn't do it. So all of this science A we believe in, but all of this science B we do not. Blithering idiots. Okay.
Next. I've gone back to my usual page, and it takes a second to load for some reason. Apparently, there was a collision course for the moon, but there isn't, so it's fine. I mean, we could move on at that.
2024 YR4, the asteroid that had the big fracking asteroid that had a non-zero chance of hitting Earth around Christmas time.
Oh, yes.
It was around Christmas time. It was declared 2%. It got up to 3 or 4% at one point.
Yeah.
But actually, it got up to 7 at one point very briefly and then got regraded back down to less than 1.
That gets itself a side on the D20 then.
it then got confirmed that it was not going to hit the Earth, but it had a 4% chance of hitting the moon. JWST has spent a lot of time querying its lookup tables of where this thing is and being pointed at it. And they did some observations in January, some in February, some in March.
Here it is.
And they've just announced all of the results. And it is going to miss the moon by 45 minutes.
Now, is that minutes in time or is that minutes in terms of...
That's minutes in time.
Wow.
If it came 45 minutes different for when it passed Earth's orbit, it would have been the largest collision we've ever seen the moon take.
It would have been
visible if it was in the dark of the moon from Earth with the naked eye. It would have been a bright flash. And the lake of molten lava it left behind would have taken months to resolidify.
Cool.
Well, no, quite hot, now, I would have said.
Here's the question. Now, Flossie, you know how in the space news they measure in anything other than SI units, yeah? You know, capybaras, giraffes, whatever. This one, what do you think was the unit of measurement for the size of the asteroid they used for this one?
Don't know.
It was a bus.
A bus, all right.
What kind of bus, though? There's so many different kinds. I mean,
Bendy bus.
I was going to say they're massively long. Where's Mia when you need him? Because you've got different.
An American school bus.
Bendy bus.
A bendy bus. A double decker bus.
An airport bus.
Yeah, a mini bus.
I'm on the wrong story. I was doing the next story. Okay.
You were doing the
too
next.
Too many
one.
Asteroids this week.
Too many asteroids. Okay, well, I'm looking at this story, which is also about an asteroid that.
Yeah,
didn't
this one was an asteroid that was discovered less than a week ago that missed us yesterday.
Oh, right. Well, this one will miss us today, right?
Yeah.
Travelling at 21,513 miles an hour, which is 34,621 kilometres an hour, and did a flyby of the moon. So that one also did. It's not the same one, is it, in two articles?
Nope. Two different asteroids.
Right, so the other one then, Gray, next slide, please.
Yes, it'll take a second.
The Deja Vu is going to miss the moon.
So this also is going to miss the moon, but by less.
Yeah, by 45 minutes.
No, this one is different. This is someone actually got hit, or someone's house got hit by a soccer ball-sized asteroid.
Not yet. This year on three. We're on one and two. Hang on a second. Which one?
Has someone added an extra one and not told me?
Yeah, so one and two, we're talking about the ones that missed the moon, and three is the one that didn't miss planet Earth.
Okay, well, I'll add that one in then, and I'll come back to it when I have found the link in the script. We're on
the one that Litho was talking about, not the one that I was talking about, but both of those are about missing the moon.
Asteroids that miss things.
Yep. So we're now on the... the using geography line. We're on the find meteorites using geography.
In Amelia's absence, we're taking a break from things that she missed and we're talking about things that missed us instead.
Yes.
No, the one using geography is that story. I was on the right one. Because...
You were one ahead of us. But carry on.
I have moved on. This is Space Story 3, finding asteroids with geography, because what happened was they saw it on all of their doorbell cameras, and they went, well, where's that gone? And they then got local seismic data to then predict where it was, and they managed to trace it back to this guy's house where it literally punched a football-sized hole in his roof. This was in Germany.
Is that a soccer ball or a soccer ball? Yes, ball?
Yeah. A soccer ball, as not in an American football. I believe so.
Soccer ball-sized hole. Yes.
But yeah, there you go. There is an asteroid actually being seen. So yeah, I think there's an if. That's not the story you were talking about. I'm a bit lost because...
if you refer to the script, you'll see that's story number four.
Yes. It's the one of a guy, the AI picture of a guy looking plaintively at a plate with some moon dust falling on it or something, you know, at the top of it.
Never mind. No, you're writing numbers in. Yeah, all right.
Okay, let's move along from that one.
Which one would you like to go to now? I can go back to the...
No, number five's good. Number five's good.
Five's good.
I haven't already got that one in, so I will make that happen. Stand by, caller.
Well, talking about this one... I'm gonna give the alternative headline while he lines that one up.
Mm-hmm.
When you say the headline you've written in here, a firefly are back in the game. Now, mm-hmm. if anybody's been watching social media, they may have noticed.
They're unconfirmed.
Well, a certain actor from something called Firefly knocking on the doors of all the other cast members and filming little clips at their door when he says, they say to him, "Is it time?" And he says, "It's time." And back many years ago when he started his podcast with Alan.
Yeah. Alan.
About We Were Spacemen. Once We Were Spacemen, I think it's called. And they said, like, if a reboot slash reunion was going to happen, how would it start? And he actually was quoted in that many years ago as saying it would start with a knock on the door.
Interesting.
And that's the only rumour we know about Firefly. Yeah. But the article you put in here is not about that Firefly.
No, the most plausible rumour there is it's going to be an animated series voiced by the original actors, which that'd be good enough for me.
Fair, agreed.
But yes, this Firefly.
Where could it go?
A couple of years ago, last year, Firefly Aerospace had their two or three spectacular failures in a row of their large Alpha rocket. Spectacular in the sense of a major first stage explosion and two major second stage explosions, I think it was, that basically took out multiple launches in a row and wasn't good for the company.
Okay, now it was a bad pun. It was Texas, wasn't it? Firefly Aerospace is the Texan one. And they like bad puns in Texas, clearly, because what was the name of the mission?
I don't remember.
It was Stairway to Seven.
Oh, yes.
Oh, very good. Yes. There it is.
They tripped over the bottom step and face-palmed the ground. And yes, it blew up.
So what's going to be that 8 one? 7, 8, 9 or something?
Well, no, 7 didn't blow up. All the 1 to 6, I think, did. Yes.
Oh, yeah, but they're going to have an 8th, surely. So what's that one going to be is my question.
I'm just trying to look up what
who ate all the donuts, probably.
Who ate?
Oh, no, apparently after Stairway to 7, they're retiring its configuration.
Oh.
So it'll be...
But at least it went up and succeeded.
Yeah, a new one called Alpha Block 2, which will be 7 feet taller, or using any kind of measurement that's not silly for space measuring things, 2.13 metres.
So they'll call that one something like size doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So how you use it.
Anyway, well done them on not blowing up on the pad, which is one better than the last Chinese test that launched when it wasn't supposed to. Was it Chinese one that launched when it wasn't supposed to?
Oh, that's a new one to me. No, I've not heard that one yet.
No, they did a static fire test.
Successful. It was.
Or was it the Indian one?
One of the SpaceX. It was one of the Starship boosters that went boom when it wasn't meant to.
Oh no! There was one where they did a static fire test and then forgot to tie it down, and it actually launched.
No.
yes.
Wasn't that the movie Space Camp back in the 80s or 90s?
No, it was Qianlong 3.
That will be Chinese then.
Yes. It was the one that actually launched from the test bed because they forgot to tie it down.
Well done, yes.
Then. Yeah. Okay. And
the last
what,
one.
What is your name?
It's Tim. Some who call me Tim.
But when we're talking about space, there is only one Tim, isn't there, really?
Certainly as far as we Brits are concerned.
Okay, a bit picky there. I'm pretty sure he's only a major so that they can do the Major Tim jokes, though.
Ground control to Major Tim. I saw this one, and he's opened a scout hut, which just was unexpected thing to find in the space news section of the BBC website.
Very down-to-earth of him.
Well, how many more of these have you got? He's a scout. He clearly scouted out space from... No, I can't do it that well. He was a scout, so he's opened a scout hut.
He's one after mostly aimless.
I think you were trying for Scout of This World.
Oh, very good. Are you sure you're not a father?
I notice he's tied it in a knot and he hasn't got his woggle. I thought they still had woggles on them, but no, he's tied it in a knot, hasn't he?
No, he's done... I learned how to do this the other day, bizarrely enough, and it's arguably more complicated than just using a woggle.
Yes. What is it called? It's called a friendship knot, as in friendship drive charging. I've made it relevant to this being a show all about elite stuff. There we go. I brought it back down. Yes.
The poor guy, he must be talking about this space trip that he did however long ago, and that seems to be the only thing that he ever gets to talk about. And he'll get asked the same questions over and over again of, how do you go to the toilet? And this poor bloke, he must be bored out of his mind selling the same thing over and over again. I don't know.
How do you drink in space? How do you wash in space? Yeah, okay. Yep.
I want to think of a question to ask him that he's not been asked before that's actually going to have to make him think.
You know, yeah. What happens if you let go on a spacewalk? Well, hey, you don't want to do that, and I hope you tied a really good friendship knot in the end of your thing. Round turn, 2 half hitches, something like that, yeah. Or a big hook. Oh, well. Well, thank you very much for the space news.
You're welcome.
Well, it's okay. You can read the word of the week in a minute.
Yeah.
Space news. Now, who's going to ask the question in a minute? Is it going to be Flossie asking the question, or...? You remember the question that Amelia normally asks, don't you, Flossie?
Yeah. Do we have a word of the week?
Yes, we do. And it was quiz-inspired this week. It is mammary glandular cellular structures, which apparently is one word.
This isn't
word.
A separate word. It's all one word, yes.
Apparently so. Who knew? Would you like to know what it means? It means boobs.
I think we can guess.
Yeah, it's boobs.
80,085, isn't it?
Yes, correct.
And can you give us a sentence containing that word, please?
Certainly. Commander Deadmeat GF, for some reason, has a great desire to include mammary glandular cellular structures into Valkyrius's quiz.
Everything else.
And on that note...
Thank you.
I can do that now, can't I?
Yes, now, before we start this one, obviously, I don't know if Grey has been in charge when there has been a quiz bit going on. Have you been in charge of a quiz bit?
I've got a quiz ready. I haven't...
And have you come in the name?
Look at this.
Well, clearly he hasn't, but he...
I haven't, no, because it's not not got it yet. There you go. You can have Studio 5.
While you're doing that... Welcome to this show's quiz, which everyone's welcome to join over at quiz.iniv.space in a browser window on the side or with a mobile device. It's picture time again this week, where every question also sends an associated image over Galnet directly to your quiz display. Technically, the pictures do actually relate to the questions, but the way these usually go, they might as well just be Hanky's Colonia holiday snaps. Everyone listening live is very welcome to view the precariously prepared pictures over at quiz.iniv.space now or at any time during the quiz to join in. And remember, multiple choice answers still need you to press the post button, and bonus points for rude free text answers as long as we're still allowed to broadcast them.
So these holiday pics, are they the ones with him in the onesie or with him, sorry, in the mankini, or with the ones with him not in the mankini?
Yes.
Now, a quick question, though. Cecil has actually fallen asleep after that bottle of gin. So you do need Cecil to actually join in on this one or not? Got the smelling salts?
Cecil's participation is optional here.
That's enough. Well,
wake him up, then. Flossie, wake him up.
Wake up.
Oh, double bombing.
There's no need for two of you to do that. My head's ringing.
And, Litho, do we have the thingy ready?
We do.
Okay, right. I'll set the thingy to the thing.
The thingy to the thing to the doodah doodle, what's it?
Is anyone seen my glasses?
Well, I've seen one of them, Cecil. Here you go.
A good chap.
And assuming I haven't mugged anything up, round one should be Splendid Ships. Let's see if this one works. Oh, there we go. That looks good to me. Question one. Which Lacon Spaceways ship is this?
I think you're taking the piss here. This is Shoebox.
I'm having to look at this one a little bit more carefully than I care to admit.
If you get a ship kit, you could put little cups on the back and it would look just like a shoebox.
I think because it's tapered at the front, it looks a bit more like a coffin.
It's awfully morbid. You shut up.
And time coming up.
Detonation. Drink a toast.
Hey, take cover! Quick!
Question two.
My word, it was loud. Don't do that again.
Which Gutemeyer ship is this? Oh yeah, you do have multiple choice on almost all of these. And they should be only the actual Gutemeyer ships as choices.
Oh! Now, did you manually populate that list? Or have you been clever and done it through a database?
I see. You do know that you can buy these over at Wonders, don't you? Very popular.
I'm not going to ask that question. That would give it away. And it's...
We're flying through today.
Yeah, question three. Which Zorgon Peterson ship is this?
Yeah, you're going to sing a song now. Shield of Thunder, hear the roar.
I know what this one is. This is the one that we predicted using a shoebox. And
anybody know the lyrics to What's New Pussycat?
I think that is the only lyrics.
Did I just spoil the quiz? I'm sorry. I won't do it again.
Oh, you're making me thirsty, Cecil.
Oh, shit, I swallowed the swizzle stick.
So it's coming up to 1 minute, so I'll call it 5 seconds there. Oh, there we go. 10 seconds.
Is anyone who had to do the Heimlich?
I think it'll work with some Heimlich.
Backslaps first. Always the backslaps.
Okay, I'm just joking.
And after that unfortunate lack of actual filter by ship manufacturer, and indeed...
I've got no filter either.
Manually entered multiple choice options, we have the... Wait, where is it? Ah, yes. It is indeed the Type 6 transporter, that said shoebox, which everyone got.
Yay!
Even Cecil.
I'm not playing.
Then from Gutermeyer, we had the Imperial Clipper. The Courier is somewhat smaller than that. That was a large pad. The Cutter isn't quite shaped. It's much more elongated.
It's really hard to tell them apart without them being side by side.
It was the lead 3,000, not the lead 5,000.
The Imperial Cutter is more bulbous at the front.
So that's what she...
Yeah, you can. You have really easy access to its power plant.
That's what
you tell. Changing the batteries.
That's what you tell all of the ladies.
And from Zorgon Peterson, we had the Panther Clipper Mark II, which everyone got. So that was good. Now round two. I really don't know why I did this, but it's awesome atmospheres. Or we can play What's That Atmosphere?
What's my fear?
A clipper like. Ship shipped several clipper clipped sheep. There's a tough thing twister here. A clipper ship shipped several shipped sheep. With a ship, sheep, clipped sheep.
I'm just pressing open. What type of atmosphere is this?
It's a pretty one.
A blue one.
It is quite, isn't it?
I can tell you it is very cold down there.
You know, I think the scores in this round will probably be slightly lower than the first round.
I was going to say, I feel that we always get gaslighted by Volcurius in these quiz. You start off with something that might be achievable, and then the second round is like, nope.
I really don't know how this one was going to go, to be honest. You might as well just pick whichever.
Also, have you noticed on this explosion, you get effectively two blips rather than just the one in the other audio?
Question two. What type of atmosphere is that?
I feel sick.
Who lives in an atmosphere like this?
And yes, if for commanders who won't haven't engaged with much of the old Odyssey mechanics, if you do a planetary landing on a thin atmosphere planet, you do actually get views like these.
I wonder how much truth there is of like what it actually looks like. You see what I mean?
Supposedly did the science to work out how it would look. It's reasonably well-known science. So.
And question three. What type of atmosphere is this or that?
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, fine. Give me a moment.
This or that? I mean, it doesn't change anything.
So it's this, that, or the other. There you go.
Oh, I see what you've done. Right. Okay. Clever.
Detonation in 10 seconds. So which one's the Gin atmosphere with botanicals?
Oh, we're not sending Cecil off on another Git adventure, are we?
Here you know, I'm colorblind. This is a terrible round. I can't see a bloody thing.
I didn't really think about that. That's kind of actually on me. Oh, well. Question one we have. The first one, that kind of bluish one. Bluish? Probably. No, it was more like purple. Was an oxygen atmosphere.
It's blue. It's not supposed to be blue.
I put oxygen first time and I changed it. Idiot.
The sickly looking one was an ammonia atmosphere. I kind of remember that because one of the Thargoid spire sites was on one of those.
I thought all the sites were ammonia based, weren't they, or are they not?
All the Titans are hovering over ammonia planets, but the spire sites are on a variety. Some aren't even on. They're all on. They are all on Odyssey planets, but they have a variety of atmospheres. So.
Interesting.
And. This one was interesting. So the third one, technically it was carbon dioxide, which actually some people got. The other dioxide, I think it was sulfur dioxide. Basically, I think the most of the dioxide atmospheres actually looked similar, so I'd have given bonus points for that. Any dioxide, really. In any case, round three is prominent port.
I've got at least one of those. I use it at least once a day.
That's good advice. Question one.
Like clockwork, you know?
What type of starport is this?
I see.
It doesn't look finished.
No, it is. I didn't put Imperial as the type.
It's only an Imperial. I thought Imperials were obsessed with their loops and things.
The logo changes depending on who owns it.
I see.
Question two. Which engineer planetary port is this?
Oh, dear.
To narrow it down a bit, it is it's one of the first five engineers you can get, which means your options are Blackhide, Demolition Unlimited, Farseer Inc., Longsight Base, or Trophy Camp.
What's the difference between Incorporated and Limited?
One spelt INC and the other spelt LTD. Incorporated is a company. Limited is a limited liability company.
If you climb up the tower, you can see an awful long way, you know.
See your house from there.
Cecil, if you climb up the tower again in that skirt of yours, kilt of yours, then please warn us before you do it.
Last time I did that, Flossie got a shock.
Go on, Cecil.
What?
you can participate in this one.
Hey.
Question three. Which outpost is this?
When it says on it.
No, it doesn't.
This is a trick question. I still want to know what an authorized craft is.
The 100 credit anacondas.
If you sit by it and look for long enough, does anything come out of it? It means it's definitely an exit.
But only when we manage to unblock cubicle 3.
And I thought an authorized craft would be a tradesman's work, his job. That's what he does while certified. So.
That decal. That's not right.
Yeah, no shame about that.
Hang on, you've photo. But you potato shopped it?
No. There is no such. It's a real picture.
I can see my bedroom from here. Look, it's that one there. Hello, me. Sure.
Do you want to press the button before it...
I didn't know you were cheese. Hello, me.
And we have... was indeed an Acellus starport, which everyone got.
Yay!
I think.
They're awfully clever, this lot. Either that or there's just one of us playing.
So to debunk the one of us playing theory straight away, the Engineer Planetary Port was Farseer Inc.
As I said, you can see an awful long way from the top.
And the outpost. Well, it was actually Hutton Orbital. Most of them say Hutton Orbital or something which, by reference, does resolve to Hutton Orbital. So I think everyone got that as well.
Apart from Mutton Orbital. What?
Well, it says Mutton Orbital.
Orbital.
I'm glad it truncated the bottom one. Because I think it was talking about a bottom one.
Oh, yeah. That's unfortunate. We probably shouldn't have broadcast that. That being the case, let's go quickly to the scores. And we have, in first place, Wordy, 83,085. And joint second, we've got Amelia Hawk's back. With 21, we've got Amelia Hawk. We've got Flossie, and we've got an Atidafo. And Jinx Chrome is third, along with Little Grey.
Yay! I ranked.
There isn't a hawk here, because she would be Scooby Dooby 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 Flooby Dooby Dooby.
But also Flingmatic. That is what I understand to be wrong. Either way, hello, we miss you. I pressed buttons, it all went wrong.
No, some bits went right. At least two of them.
Yes. Well, we're streaming. That's one.
That's one.
And we're still streaming.
We got to see the quiz. That's two.
Yeah, you're ready to sleep now.
Yes. And on that note, well done, everyone.
We still haven't got a suitable exit quiz music, have we? It's.
I don't think we've got any quiz music, to be fair.
We tried and we just didn't quite manage it.
It didn't. Yeah.
Now, did you want me to show the thing?
Yes, we show the thing. Before we move on, Flossie, brace yourself. You're coming up next. You're soon. But anyway, we did find some news on the Apology Officer. We had a spy camera trying to track down the movements of the Apology Officer, and our spy camera did find out where they've gone and what they're flying, and we have footage here for you. Run VT.
Let's see if this works, shall we? Here we go.
No, that's the Anaconda. Oh.
That is a Majestic class interdictor. That is not an Anaconda.
Can I press play again?
I don't know if that there's the Anaconda. There it is.
But yes, that presume has somewhat. So is that someone's put together in some? Like it's got a 3D model of it and made it.
Well, yeah, that is actually the Apology Officer's own Majestic class vessel.
Yes, it's a 3D model, but it's an actual 3D model. Not
so that's an actual picture of their spaceship. It is very small, but then so is the Apology Officer. But that was
the one photographed. They won at ECM a year or two ago.
So they won one and then photographed it and then launched it. But yes, that is a real model of a Majestic class vessel, and the only thing that's been added by virtue of technology is the engines firing. Everything else is actually a real picture.
Yeah, because
the background is also painted, by the way. And on the first, can you run it again? At the very start of it, you can actually see the wooden block it stood on.
Yes.
Yes. There you go. There's the wooden block. So that is actually a photograph of a model. I think it's cleaned up the seam because it's in three pieces and it gets bolted together. But I think the only thing there on the cleaning up is the seam and the engines being added. But the background is also painted as well. And that's part of Little Glasgow by the Apology Officer.
There you go.
But that's a real one. There we go. So, yes, we have found the Apology Officer and they're aboard a Majestic. I don't know how they managed to afford a Majestic class.
He's just got a cabin on the bottom. Not a window, it's just like sort of in the middle of it.
I think they've been saving up the old chip oil from the chippy on the corner of the street, and they sold it all when all of the prices went crazy.
It's something like 3 kilometres long, isn't it?
So is the queue for that chippy most nights.
Yeah, I mean, 3 beam lasers and 14 modular interceptor railguns and a fleet of GU-97s. It's a big thing. And I'd imagine, you know, Vulcarius, you would like to fly one of those at some point.
Yep. Yeah. I'd put a few arcs in the tin for that one.
Yep.
Arcs in the tin.
Definitely not spoiling any ECM surprises that there might be a 6-foot one of those turning up.
Who's making that?
I'm not telling you any more details, but I'm just saying there might be a 6-foot one of those turning up.
Also, its length is 1.9 kilometres.
Is it?
It is indeed. It's 1,904 metres.
We had this in a quiz, didn't we, not that long ago?
Something like that one, but I don't think it was that one specifically.
That's an awfully long way. Right. Well, thank you very much for that. And we're going to hand over to Flossie now. And then we're going to Flossie, and then we're going to go straight into... I think we'll just go straight into Beetlespoon, if you've got the button at the end of Flossie.
I do. Let's see how well I can put a seam into this one, shall we?
It's Flossie.
Hello, Flossie here with this week's CG News. The CG Core Dynamics Combat Initiative ended at 1400 UTC today at a little over T6. There was over 5 trillion credits earned by over 18,500 contributors. Who all received various amounts from 170 million credits for top 10 down to 60 million credits for top 100%. Pilots who registered at least one contribution should be receiving the following rewards: Kestrel Mark II Vapor White Paint Job, Core Dynamics Decal. Credits depending on success tier achieved and individual contribution level. Pilots in the top 75% and above of contributions will also receive one fully engineered C-rated kill warrant scanner with fast scan and long range modifications. Galnet reported that Kestrel Fight Trials deemed a resounding success. Core Dynamics has confirmed the successful conclusion of its Kestrel Field Trials, with pilots proving its fighter superiority in conflict zones. A Core Dynamics press statement described the results as confirmation that the Kestrel is the best small combat ship available. Engineers monitoring combat situational data reported that the Kestrel outperformed every other ship encountered, better than they had anticipated. CEO Owen McKenna provided this statement. "We have a long history of producing high-performance combat ships and always wanted to build a successor to the incomparable Eagle Mark II when the time was right. I'm pleased to announce that the Kestrel is the ship, having exceeded all our expectations." With the successful trials now concluded, Core Dynamics predicts that the Kestrel will be adopted by the Federal Navy and independent combat pilots as a small fighter of choice. The Kestrel is available for exclusive purchase initially and will transition to standard shipyard inventories at a later date. And there are no new CGs this week, so that's it for this week's CG News.
Flossie told you what to do.
Galnet News Update, 12th March 3/12. The 16-day-long active service test of the Kestrel Mark II fighter in Duanta has concluded, with Core Dynamics predicting that the Federal Navy will use the new ship to replace its existing fleet of Eagles. Core Dynamics has claimed that the Kestrel outperformed all other combat fighters by some margin, and that it is now the best small combat ship available. In fact, the Kestrel's on a par with many of the medium combat ships in terms of overall effectiveness in a fight. Core's CEO, Owen McKenna, said that the corporation has been wanting to create a new fighter for some time, and that the company anticipates that the Kestrel is a worthy successor to the Eagle Mark II. By which he presumably means that the Kestrel is a better fighter than the Eagle, in the same way that the Panther Clipper is a better freighter than the Adder. The Kestrel Mark II is currently available in early access for ARCs, with an expectation that it'll enter general availability in about 3 months. Core Dynamics has predicted that the Kestrel will be adopted for military and security use by the Federal Navy. If they're right, then the anticipation of advanced tactical response in federal systems turning up in Kestrels is likely to make potential wrongdoers think twice before committing crimes. The initiative did not require participants to fly a Kestrel Mark II. Financial rewards are available now, with the expectation that the kill warrant scanner, Kestrel paint job, and Core Dynamics decal will be attributed to the accounts of those eligible within a few days. In other news, the Distant Worlds 3 fleet is en route to its sixth waypoint, Bayua Aousi NR-Q B46-6. The organisers have requested that participants should store up their exploration data rather than sell it, although the reason for this has not yet been made clear. The fleet is being tracked by a shadow fleet of carriers belonging to the Distant Ganks expedition. In fact, the Distant Ganks carriers often arrive at the next waypoint well in advance of the Distant Worlds carriers, providing a convenient means of rapid transport for the more impatient explorer.
Thank you, Beetle Jude and a Witherspoon, or just Mr. Spoon for that one.
What was the, oh, my ears, my ears. What's up with Kesnick? Kesnick, take some medication or something.
Oh, no. It was a valid point. We had some duplication heading out onto the stream. It had a bit of an echo on it. Fortunately, I clocked something wasn't right reasonably quickly. So, yet another scene for you all. I'm sorry.
Witherspoon was talking into a big bucket or something, was he?
Yes, a faraway bucket.
Is there an echo in here?
Is there an echo in here?
Toast's ready.
Toast's ready.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody. And look, we're on time, 10 o'clock.
Hey, look at that.
Ish.
Well, hey.
Hey. So has anybody else got any other questions? Or is there anything we've forgotten, or anything important we've forgotten before we scarper towards the end of the show? Get well soon to Amelia.
And get well soon.
Yep. I'm sure she'll be, you know, recovered from her wee cough sometime soon. What else do we forget? I'm sure we forgot something. There was something important I didn't write down. And I can't remember what it was.
ECM related?
No, we did a lot of ECM chat.
You were going to tell us who the surprise guests were.
I was absolutely not going to tell you who surprise guests were at all. And I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you until 5 minutes after we open when they walk in the door. Just for that. Punishment for you all. I don't know how I'm going to just... They're going to have a fake nose and a wig and everything so that you won't know who they are.
I mean, is there not Groucho Marx, you'll be fine.
Is there a chance I probably won't know who they are anyway?
Me.
Or you'll certainly know when they announce their name and they pull the, you know. yes. We had some interesting chats with Special Effect today about special guests and who we're going to sort of put a Hessian sack over their head and stick them in the back of a van with three burly guys sat on them to make sure they actually turn up this time.
Wait, are we doing the Hutton equivalent of like the Masked Dancer or whatever that TV show was?
No, we're just going to kidnap them and put them in a van and bring them to the event.
The Masked Musician or something, wasn't it? They had these people.
Yeah.
We're not dressing up Tokuso, are we?
That reminds me. And I know like there are only about two of us listening to the show at the moment. Hutton Mayhem Band for this year. don't forget, anybody who has any talent, we'll put it this way, can you be better than LCU No Fool Like One?
What do you say, 150 tickets, 140 tickets sold so far?
156.
So that's got to be at least 135, 140 people with more talents.
Well, anyway.
I'm ruling myself out because I haven't. But
if you are a music iron and you can strum something or poke the buttons on something or hit something vaguely in time and in tune, don't forget the Hutton Mayhem Band is always recruiting for more members. Now, in previous years, it has been Tokuso and the Hutton Mayhem Band. We are awaiting confirmation on whether the marvellous Tom Cook, Tokuso, who does the music for the Galnet News Digest you just heard as well. Anyway, whether he is going to be headlining, accompanied by the Hutton Mayhem Band. But we are always running. I wouldn't say it's an open mic night, but it's there is a Mayhem Band made up of talent within the community who do join in as the backing band for the kickoff for the evening entertainment. So if you have any talent, singing, playing a guitar, ukulele, banjo.
Oh, ukulele would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yep.
We could record it. And then we could use the ukulele version as the closing credits of the song of the radio show.
Well, we have to see whether they do a cover version of the Hutton Orbital theme tune, possibly.
There you go.
There we go. We could do a new version with the entire audience singing. How about that?
Little ukulele in his hand.
And we can adjust the lyrics so it definitely doesn't say that Flossie crashes into things. But okay, well, other than that, it's sort of ready for time for us to go. Now, Gray, do you have a credits thing on your deck there, your magic deck?
I do, yes.
And have you got the wherewithal to do the raiding?
No, I am not set for the raiding.
Well, I can do the raid thing, but it means you and I have to coordinate. So what is typical is that we go and raid somebody that is broadcasting their exploits out in space, somebody who's not about to combat log. So I am just having a look as to who is streaming at the moment and wants some visitors. It is normal for Hutton truckers to turn up, give them a for the mug, say hi, that kind of thing. So we've got to find somebody we've not seen before. Probably flying, speaking vaguely English. Oh, we've got somebody streaming DW3 here. Let's have a look. And they've got, they look like they're flying one of the newer ships. Yep, so we've got a BZ Smith or a BZ Smith, whichever, who appears to be streaming some heading to Waypoint 7 kind of content. So, yeah, we can go and join them in a minute. Now, so Gray.
Yeah.
What we need to do is we need to coordinate this one. So you're going to play the credits. Now, do you know which version of the theme tune you're playing tonight?
I'm going to try. Well, I pressed the button earlier and we tested it to make sure it wasn't the chipmunk version. So hopefully.
Right.
Hopefully it's going to be a normal version today.
Okay. Well, what I will do is I've got the magic control over the raid button. So we're obviously going to mute our mics when that happens.
Yep.
Yeah. When it comes towards the end of the music, I'm going to say raid is live. And that's your cue to be able to stop streaming.
Understood. Right. Shall we do it
if
then?
If you know what I mean. Don't hit stop until I've done the raid.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Shall we say the final words?
For the mug!
For the mug!
For the mug!
Thank you. journey too long, or cargo too small. Profit margins never really mattered at all. You're gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We're taking everything and time everywhere. Loading all the teen out to the brim with the rest for the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Yeah, everybody's seen the trucker's song.
Seamless.
Flossie always seems to crash into the sun. Skibble ice, the pilot on the Xbox One. Alvin out the free, you know he leads us well. Trucking across the galaxy, now everybody yell for the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Everybody's seen the Hurtin' Trucker's song. For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
You know just where we're coming from. For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Everybody's seen the Hurtin' Trucker's song. Give me a large path that I can land on, and I'll give you cargo and sing you my song. No point 22 light years to go, cruising to no journey too long, no cargo too small. The profit margins never really mattered at all. Gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We're taking anything, anytime, anywhere. So shout it out loud, like you don't even care. For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more.
For the more.
For the more. Everybody sing the Hurtin' Trucker's song. For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more.
For the more.
For the more. Everybody sing the Hurtin' Trucker's song.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the show. Everyone's buggered off now, so why don't you bugger off too?
Seamless.